Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, Riv, I ask you this question with all seriousness. Do I have any cream cheese in my beard to start the day off?
No, that's just white hair.
All right, thank you. Day two of the Instigators road trip here as we settle in at the KeyBank Center because it's game day. Sabres host the Hurricanes tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show on MSG. Marty's here as usual on game days and lots to talk about. Yesterday, great day yesterday, though, I got to just say, over at Roswell Park. Thank you to everybody over there. Awesome, you know, being able to go around and take a little time to visit with some of the patients afterward. Yep. Definitely puts a different perspective in your day, that's for sure. So we're wishing everybody over there well, and thank you to everybody that was there to support us for the show. Here at KeyBank Center, Carolina Hurricanes in town. Dom Hasek stopping by. I got to just say this, Marty.
Yeah.
Nice little hug to you. He loves the Instigators.
I think he
loves the Instigators.
So figure, like, we're on 10 Eastern in Czech Republic. We are probably on at about 4 in the afternoon. Is there a 6 hours? Is it 5 hours over in Czech? Maybe. But anyway, I think Dom goes hunting in the morning. He loves hunting. He goes hunting, takes his dogs out in the field, and then he comes home, has a little nap, and gets up around 4 and goes online and listens to the Instigators. That's 100%. What I'm thinking he does.
He has to. The way he comes in and just embraces us, and he's pretty laid back, though, yesterday. I don't know if you got a chance to hear him at all, Marty, but he's fun to talk to.
He's an awesome communicator, and I know that the language, obviously, for many, many years, people used to, you know, joke around with Dumps and must see, or PD, and so it was. But when he trusted you, and when you got to know him, he was very methodical. He's smart. He knows the game. He knows about politics. He knows about a lot of different things. He's a very interesting person to talk to, and he came walking down with a big smile on his face, and
he didn't like when we called when Petey and I both were saying that goaltenders were weird.
No, you don't want to say that to a goalie. It's very offensive.
Facts are facts.
No, there's no facts that support that goaltenders are weird.
There is definitely fact that
there's
goaltenders
facts.
Are always.
It's all relative, right? Why are you think goalies are weird because you're a weird defenseman, right? And now you're a weird youth hockey coach. You know, people would watch you behind the bench when you coach youth hockey, and they'd be like, this guy is so weird. And you're like, no, that's my world.
There? Why you got to go there?
No, but I'm just saying, weird is all relative. It's when it's different. You're calling weird what you should be saying is different. Goalies are different. They're not weird. That doesn't make him.
Am I using the wrong terminology? Craig, am I making you feel uncomfortable?
Craig, I got to tell you, I think
I
you struck a nerve.
Marty. Yeah, I obviously
you struck
did.
A nerve. You know I didn't what? Say weird, Marty. I didn't. I did not say weird. I said scribbly. And scribbly can mean a number of things, but just having the nerve to get behind a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot.
Okay. Let me tell you this, Petey.
What it takes to prepare to go and do I think
I want
to
clarify.
I have full equipment. I am built like the Michelin man to face a 100-mile-an-hour shot. Mr. Rive here, who is a defenseman wearing shin guards from Canadian Tire, is getting in front of those 100-mile-an-hour shot with a visor, thinking.
I don't have a visor.
Well, okay, not even have a visor. He's thinking it's smart to get in front of those shots when there's
head.
Michelin man behind protected to make the save. You ask me which one's the weirdest one.
Goalie.
I'm not even talking about you blocking shots. I'm talking about all you guys with the when I say weird.
Well, no, I got to say this about Marty because I played with Marty for a number of years. You had a different routine on game day than off day, but your routine on game day wasn't abnormal.
No, I wasn't like shutting it down. I wasn't leave me alone. I don't want to talk to anybody.
Like you still came and played soccer for a shorter period of time.
Shorter period of time because I took a little longer to get dressed. I love being in the meetings. I still love being on the ice after practice to do last shot or juice boy or whatever games we would play.
Yeah.
So it's funny because yesterday I was at NHL Network and I did a goalie roundtable with Kevin Weeks and Darren Pang. And one of the questions was, goalie and goaltending could be such a isolated position, and I never felt like goaltending was
a lot of
isolated.
Them did, though. That's why.
Darren Pang said it was isolated.
I shouldn't use the terminology "weird" in today's. I mean that's offensive to a lot of people.
It's not offensive.
It definitely is.
Only offensive to two players per team.
Out of 23, it's a small.
I don't know what
they were. Was goaltenders seem to be. The two on each and every team that I always played on, and they seemed to prepare much differently. They were much more focused than everyone else. They seemed to kind of want to be by themselves, especially the backup guy that was not playing that night was happy and smiling and talkative, and you know. And then the goalie playing that night was extremely focused.
Yep.
And going through routines that they go through every preparing for every game, and they were different. They did not want to be talked to. They were in their own little world.
But let me ask you this question.
That's why I'm saying that.
If somebody walks in the locker room, okay, and goes to Craig Rivé, number 52, in your stall, and grabs your gloves. And, whoa, look at these gloves. They're so nice. Like, you know, and then grabs your shoulder pads and grabs your helmet. And you'll be like, what are you doing? Like, that's my gear. Why are you grabbing my gear? But nobody does that. Nobody goes to a player stall and grabs their stuff. But
a weird guy does. A weird guy does.
Well, maybe. But most people would do.
I learned from it.
Yeah, but most people would come in and they'd go to the goalie gear and grab the pads and play around with and bend them and grab the gloves. And you're like, whoa, like that's my stuff. Like, leave it alone. Yeah. Shush, go away. And all then right. They're like, well, goalies are so weird. You can't talk to them. You can't touch their stuff. It's not that it's weird. Nobody likes their equipment played with in the locker room and handled by other people. It's just it's your gear. It's your tools. Don't touch them.
I have a quick story tools, to add to that. So when I got called up to
Montreal. Don't say I'm a tool. My name is my tools, yes.
I don't put words in my mouth. I thought I've never heard hockey equipment described as tools before. I think it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, that's true. But I have a quick story to add about goaltending equipment and not touching it and putting it on. And this is not my story that I told yesterday with Patrick about Patrick Waugh. This has to do with something even better than that. I got called up one time. I was 21 years old. I got to Montreal, and I had a bunch of buddies that were going to university in Queens and Kingston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, are goalies weird?
See? We're not going to quote you.
The boys from Carolina walking
few of the
in.
Boys
and Petey.
Walking in. You know what? You got to pull the guys.
You just feel like it's okay to yell across the atrium to the guys walking in and ask.
We're them. Hockey players. We're one. We are. Are we not?
We are one.
We are.
Except for the goalies. Then they're on their own.
The goalies are the best guys. I'm just saying. I saw four players. I'm like, hey. Let's ask them. Are goalies weird? They said yes.
Carolina have probably – okay, tell your story, and then I'll go into Carolina. But
anyway, I was in Montreal, got called up. I had a bunch of buddies from Queen's University that were on a week off, and they came here. And two of the guys that my good buddy knew lived in Montreal. So they were massive, massive Montreal Canadian fans. Well, I got them into the Bell Center. Or actually, it was the Forum at the time.
Okay.
And I went into the security, and I said, I have four guys behind me. And I say, listen, I'm Craig Rive. I just got called up. I'd like to take these guys into the dressing room. The security guy wouldn't let me in. He had no idea who I was. Okay? And so they had to phone the trainer. The trainer came out, brought us in, and, you know, gave me the key to the room. So we're going through the room. I got these guys doing bench press.
In the weight room?
Yes. I got guys doing bench press in the weight room. I've got guys trying on equipment in the locker room. It was like 9:30 at night, okay?
But still, like, that's...
So I'm in the room talking to my good buddy Mike Mitchell and in the weight room, and the three other guys that go to school with my buddy went into the dressing room. Well, I came in 5 minutes later. One guy has Ron Tudnuck's mask on, blocker and glove. Yeah. And the other guy on the other side has Patrick Waugh's mask on, blocker and glove. And the third guy, is shooting pucks on both of them.
No way.
In the locker room. And so somebody
so
was wearing
Rives, that. Rives got a pink slip and got sent back down the next day.
No one knew. No one found out about it. I told the guys, I said, put the stuff back. I already learned my lesson.
Oh my goodness.
And these guys were the biggest Montreal Canadiens fans. They grew up obviously loving the team. And
you can't
the one
do
guy
that.
The one guy, this is no word of a lie, was crying in the room when I first took him in.
Because it was so impressive.
Because his family, the generations of Montreal Canadian fan, like it, they weren't just fans. They lived the red, white, and blue. And he started to cry in the dressing room.
Well, going into the Montreal Forums, Canadians locker room is different than now going in the Bell Center. I mean, Jean Béliveau, Maurice Richard, those guys played at the Montreal Forum and won cups, and so it's different, definitely. But yeah. Next thing you know is Rives and his buddies are in the sauna and they're like with Patrick Waugh's gloves and mask and having a beer.
They wanted to. They wanted to get in the hot tub, and I said, well, that'd be uncomfortable. So,
it would be less uncomfortable getting in the hot tub than using Patrick Waugh's gloves and mask and getting shot at in the locker room. But anyway.
All right. Well, we got on that conversation because day two of the road trip, Dom Hasek stopped by. So we got to see him before today's show, and it just brought us to our conversation when we asked Dom, our goalie's a little weird. I think he got a little offended by that. But you know what? It makes for a great conversation. Sabres host the Hurricanes tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 Buick Sabres game night on MSG. And yesterday, gentlemen, there had been a little bit of a shakeup with the lines. Marcus Johansson was not skating. So we'll see what's up there. But the lines are Olofsson, Eichel, Reinhart. Skinner, Rodriguez will go in for Johansson. Sherry on the right side. VC, Mittelstadt, Lazara was recalled. And the Gergensen, Larson, Oposo line has stayed the same. So if you guys just want to talk about changes, we'll know more.
We'll
in a
know more
bit.
This morning because they are having a morning skate.
Yeah.
When they came back from Europe, Monday and Tuesday were off, mandatory off, so they skated yesterday, and that was the first time that they got together and skated. So Ralph Kruger wants them on the ice again this morning before tonight, which is a rare occasion of a morning skate at home. So we'll know what the injury report came out yesterday, and it said day-to-day with Marcus Johansson. It also said day-to-day with Marco Scandella, but he was part of the sixth defenseman yesterday. So, you know, we'll focus on the defense in a little bit, but up front, there's some shakeup a little bit, and obviously part of that is what we talked about on Tuesday, is trying to generate more shot attempts, more quality shot attempts on the Rodriguez line, but that was the Marcus Johansson line, and on the Casey Mittelstadt line. Those two lines have struggled. They have the talent to score when they get an opportunity in the slot, but they've struggled to find the scoring areas to be able to get good opportunities from, and that's the biggest difference between, let's put the Eichel's line, is getting opportunity, they're scoring because they're shooting from the slot. The Larson line is getting opportunity from the slot, but their shooting percentage is not going to be what of Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel, so they are struggling to put numbers, but at least they're getting opportunity. the other two lines are just not generating enough from the slot, and that's why a little shake up in the middle.
Are you surprised at all with who they called up?
Yes, I am. And I kind of had that conversation a little bit with Kevin Weeks yesterday because we were talking about the Sabres and about, you know, goaltending in general as well, how a guy like Jordan Binnington was not even factored in with St. Louis last year and ends up winning the Cup. And sometimes you start the season and you pencil in guys on your sheet and you say Curtis Lazar, you know, could play, can kill penalties, hardworking guy. He will fit in if so-and-so-and-so have to miss time. If Sobotka missed time, Lazar's a good fill-in for him. If Gergensen misses time, Lazar's
so
a good fit.
The type of player that is hurt or injured with the big club will determine on who's going to be called up from the minors.
Sometimes that's how teams do it. So I was a little surprised on Lazar's call-up because a guy like Tage Thompson is doing so well and you need scoring and you've only got, seven goals in the last, 11 games?
Yep.
No, 11 goals in the last 7 games or 12 goals in the last 7 games, so it's less than 2 goals a game.
I think the kicker with Lazar, though, is that he can also play center. And he's not just a a right winger. He can also play center. So, I mean, you have Rodriguez there. You don't know how long Johansson's out. You don't know, you know, what the circumstances if Mittelstadt will end up moving up, but you might want to have a guy that has some experience. He was at least drafted. He was drafted as a centerman. So
it's 7 goals in the last 5 games. That's what the Sabres, and they're a 5-game losing streak.
Well, that's good
right
because
now.
Carolina had
goals.
8 goals in their last game.
Yeah, but they play. Okay, so listen, I'm not going to discredit anything. They played Ottawa. Carolina's been struggling. They lost to Ottawa recently 4-1. They lost a game just before that to Philadelphia. They lost a game before that. So it's not like they've been red hot, too. So they're going to have some fire, you know, in their belly. But, you know, an 8-2 romping over Ottawa, I'm not going to say doesn't impress me, but I will say that, you know, it's not like they're doing it again.
It still impresses me.
I got it wrong.
8
goals in the last 5 games. Sorry, my math this morning.
You know, okay. I look at, you know, being able to score 8 goals in the National Hockey League means that you're certainly doing something right and you're all on the same page. And
we didn't see that game. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue about the type of game it was to score 8 goals. They put in 8 goals. I get that. They have players that can finish. But I would say that these two teams are very similar.
And the funny thing is the game before
they lost to Ottawa, didn't they?
They lost to Ottawa.
4-1.
Yeah.
So you win 8-2, and then the game before you lose 4-1.
Bit of a wake-up call there because they're probably sitting there going, like, why should we be losing to Ottawa with the reputation that Ottawa's had in terms of what kind of team
Ottawa has 6 wins right now and 9 losses. I mean, they're not a joke hockey team. You have to give them some respect. If you do not respect Ottawa, they will beat you.
I think you have to respect everybody in this league.
Yes, exactly.
But the way that Carolina has been doing in the last 4 games, they've outshot their opponents in every game. 4 games ago against the Flyers, it was 34-28. 3 games ago against the Rangers was 47-19. And then Ottawa, 2 games ago, was 39-30 and then 43-29. So they shoot 35-40 shots on goal. They create rebound opportunities. They're relentless on the forecheck. They're quick. It's a very big challenge. So
would you say we've said this before, once Rod Brendamore took over the Carolina Hurricanes, he instills I think the type of things that he feels you need to do to win hockey games.
Yeah.
And the team plays fast. They're aggressive. Like, they don't, when you look at the Carolina Hurricanes, it's very tough to sit there and say that they're loaded with a high-end skill set, but they have guys that work extremely hard. They're a very dangerous team to play against because besides Sebastian Aho and maybe who else do they have?
Well, their coach is the hardest-working coach maybe in hockey.
Semestikov.
Andrei Svechnikov is,
Tuivainen.
Teräväinen.
Teräväinen. I mean, after that, I mean, they're not loaded with household names that you're going to know, but this is a team that plays well together. They're very dangerous.
I'll tell you this. Last year, Rod Brind'Amour, early in the season, made a comment after a game, and I thought, uh-oh, that's not where you want to go. After a loss at home, he said to the reporters something, and I'm paraphrasing here, basically, I probably should have just put my gear on and gone out there, and I would have been. It wouldn't have been any worse. Like, or maybe he said it would have been better. And I thought that's not what you want. The message you want to send is, no. Guys, like, I'm Rod Brind'Amour. I can. But you know what happened?
Nobody might have been able to. That's the thing.
That's the thing. And then the next day at practice, the players are probably looking at Rod Brind'Amour and says, "Geez, like this guy." He put in the work. He was in the gym. He was Rod the Bod, and then he's on the ice, coaching with authority. And they responded to it. It was that moment last year that I thought, wow, Rod Brind'Amour has a way to turn things around that I didn't think he could.
Yeah, he was one of the best two-way players. Hardworking. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, I think that has to factor into how his players look at him, for sure.
They went to the conference finals last year, right?
Based on, some stardom, but a good defense. But hard work was their key.
Hard work and speed. They played the game fast and tenacious. They never, ever quit working, whether it was on a forecheck, whether it was in the neutral zone, whether it was in the defensive zone. They all were in sync, and they all – and. There was games last year that the Carolina Hurricanes lost because they didn't have enough firepower. They didn't have enough star power.
Yeah.
But most games they were in, and most games they won because of the way that they work, their identity as a hockey team.
They beat Washington in 7, and then they swept the Islanders in second round, and then they were swept by Boston. But still, like it. That's very surprising with what they had. They had Curtis McElhinney and Peter Mrazek in that. They really.
But if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but I feel like a couple of those games against Boston could have gone either way. Like, I feel like weren't a couple. Like, I want to assume you have the scores there.
Yeah, it was Boston beat them 5-2 and 6-2, and then after that it was 2-1 Boston. The last one was 4-0. Yeah. So maybe game 3 could have switched things around.
Could have gone a different way.
Boston was an oiled machine. Yeah, they were, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they were a powerhouse. They're slipping too right now. They've lost 4 straight, and everyone sits and was like,
and
"Oh, look."
The way they've lost them. They were up 4-0
against
after
Florida.
2 to Florida. It was the first time in Florida Panthers history that they came back from a 4-goal deficit to win a game. It's not like they've been in the league, 60 years, but still, 4-goal deficit, and they did it all in the third period.
So is the sky falling in Boston?
Nope. Should the sky fall in Buffalo?
No, it shouldn't.
Carolina had lost 4 in a row before beating Ottawa 8-2. Yeah. So Carolina's a really good team. They had lost 4 in a row,
yeah.
And then they beat Ottawa 8-2. You have to be able to put the pass.
Like defensively, this team's been pretty solid all year long. Can we agree with that?
Yes.
The goaltending's been very solid. I think the back end and the defense is, we've got strength on our back end. It's a really good back end. Defensively, I think our forwards have done a nice job 5-on-5. Right now, we are not scoring enough goals. Jack Eichel's line and with Olofsson and Reinhardt for the beginning of the season, very, very hot on the power play, but weren't scoring 5-on-5. Well, the last number of games, they've actually done a really nice job scoring 5-on-5. We just need to have a little bit more from the other lines. We're not asking each and every line to go out and score 2-3 goals a game. No, you need to chip in a goal here and there, which makes a massive difference at the end of the game. Jack Eichel's line, they have to go out and produce. They have to go out and produce offense for this team, or this team really does not have a chance to win. But we still need that secondary scoring, and that's the one area that they just need to kind of figure out and work on, and I know that they will.
Let's talk about the back end before we go to break.
Ooh, it got cold all of a sudden.
Yeah, it did. McCabe, Risto, Dahlin, Montour, Scandella, Joki Haju, Bogosian, Miller, Gilmore. Now Bogosian's back skating with the team, but I don't want to be anything mistaken, I don't think he's close to playing, is he? I
mean, it said week to week on the injury report. So we're not thinking this weekend is not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking. If it's week to week, I'm thinking after next weekend even. I mean, Thanksgiving around.
So next week they have later in the week, they have Boston on Thursday, and then they have Florida, Tampa next Sunday, Monday.
There's no reason to have him healthy.
Well, no, there is a reason. I want to know how Zach Bogosian fits in and if his body
can
will
you elaborate
be.
On that? I mean, I need a little clarity on that comment.
Very simple.
There's no reason for him to be healthy.
There's a lot of defensemen.
What? I get what you're saying. I'm making fun of it. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. There's a lot of defensemen on this team that are NHL-ready defensemen that should be in this lineup. And right now, Zach Bogosian, who is a very good defenseman in this league, he might have a really tough time breaking this lineup because I don't know who is coming out for Zach Bogosian.
Colin Miller was an extra yesterday at practice because, as Petey pointed out, McCabe and Ristolainen are together, Dahlin and Montour are together, and now Scandella comes back on the left with Jokiharju on the right.
Yeah.
Leaves Miller out. Miller would have, early in the season, was playing with Dahlin, where Montour is at right now. So you have Miller, Colin Miller, as the extra rolling kind of 3D with Gilmore and Bogosian.
This season? 18?
We are, this is going to be game number, let me just go back
I
up.
Think it's
I
19.
Think it's 19, right? So, yeah, game number
18.
So when
you 18, talk about, game when you talk 18. About Miller... For the
Miller's
first,
not going to not play.
For the first eight or nine games of the season,
right?
For the first eight or nine games of the season,
sit?
He was one of the, without question, best defensemen for the Sabres.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after that?
Do we know that Scandella's playing yet for sure? Like, are we going?
We'll know this morning. This morning is the morning skate. It's, you know, usually the Sabres don't morning skate. They do this morning. We'll get a better idea of who's going to be in the lineup or not.
I'm calling it. Miller's playing.
But, okay, so if Marco Scandella is ready to play,
you got
to
play him.
Who would you play him?
And
who
and
comes
why?
Out?
Why? Why do you play him?
I take out Jokiharju.
Jokiharju? Okay, so you put Scandella with Miller?
It has nothing to do with Jokiharju. It's just kind of like, hey, kid, we have Colin Miller here. Like, you're not going to play over Colin Miller this year.
Okay, yeah. Well, what if Jokiharju has outplayed Colin Miller?
Well, has he? Has he outplayed Colin Miller?
Unpopular opinion. It would be to take out Rasmus Dahlin because, but that's not.
You're never taking him out.
And I think the point is, and people are going to say, well, he's not been, you know, playing to the level as to which he could play. And I understand that, but he is 19 years old. He needs to learn. He needs to develop. He needs the reps. He needs to be on the ice. That's why you keep playing him and you teach him. Being healthy scratch is not going to help him right now.
When Scandella went down, he was playing well enough to earn his spot back when he's healthy. I believe that, you know,
But I look at it.
And it's not like the team's been winning, so you're sitting here saying, well, you know, we can't really change things up because, you know, we've won the first six games of the season. They're 0-4 in November.
There's another reason to get Scandella in the lineup.
Yes, for sure. Because his name has been mentioned in trade
rumors.
There you
go. That's exactly it.
So you get him back.
That's not why you played a guy. You played a guy because you were winning when the guy was in your lineup.
Marty, look at the timing. You have top nine forward being discussed and Scandella coming back.
I totally get that, but that's not the reason why Ralph Kruger is saying, hey, Scandy, you healthy? Yeah, you look good in practice. You're playing because –
No,
he's mentioned
I'm not saying that. Of course you're going to bring it. Marty,
when you make decisions and you have eight guys that are all NHL-ready guys, Colin Miller, Jokiharju, whoever it is, you need to put in Scandella. And the reason why is he has played exceptionally well this year when playing with Jokiharju. Can we agree with that?
Extremely well.
They've been a very great, very good pairing.
Yes.
Here's the thing. There's going to be a point in time where Jason Botterill has to pull the trigger on a trade. He has way too many NHL defensemen right now. He's going to have to make a move.
Yes.
And when you look at our lineup, is it McCabe? Is it Dahlin? Is it Montour? Is it Jokiharju? Is it Ristolainen?
Listen.
It's going to be a player most likely like a Scandella. You can't trade a player that is not in the lineup.
Okay. You're not trading McCabe.
I get that.
You're not trading McCabe.
You could, but here's the thing. You're not looking at this and saying, Scandella's coming back in, so I can't take McCabe out because I could trade him. I can't take Risto out because I could trade him. So we are not trading Montour. We just got him. We're not trading Yokiharu. We just got him. We're not trading Dahlin. We just got him. You know, so you're not playing the guys that you think I have to play because there's a chance they could be traded. You're playing the guys that give you the best chance to win.
That was the first thing to my point. And then Craig followed up with saying, well, why else? And his name has been, we have Elliot Friedman coming on at 11. And before Scandella got hurt, his name was attached to trades. It was out there. And honestly, you know, like the timing of the injury was kind of like you wonder if that has slowed down a potential deal. Not saying that you were rushing him back, because the worst thing you could do is bring him back early to trade him and he gets hurt again. So you're going to give him the time to heal, come back so that he's 100%, so that the trade is still possible. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to see any potential trade partners disappear because Scandella is not available. I'm not saying I want Scandella traded. I'm saying that you have to make a deal. And if you know where you're at with this guy as a UFA, you have Jake McCabe, you have other players in the minors, he might want to go somewhere too because he's a UFA. He's going to want to play. And I just think the timing is everything, actually.
You need to get him in the lineup. That's 100% because he is a piece that could be on the trade market.
I got a feeling. You want you to recap from the future? Woo, there were a lot of scouts in the house last night.
No.
You don't think there'll be a lot of scouts in the house tonight?
I think you play Saturday night here against Ottawa and you play in Chicago Sunday. I think if you are thinking of people that are going to scout the Sabres that have not seen them a whole lot, you're thinking there may be some scouts in Chicago. Because that's the Midwest, that's the Western Conference. Those are teams you don't see as often. They may come out to see the Sabres on Sunday in Chicago. I'm not thinking there's going to be more scouts tonight just because, you know, the Sabres are rumored to want a top nine forward and Marco Scandella could be coming back. And I don't think it's going to affect that.
I just think trade rumors around the team in general, I think, will bring.
Will Scandella be in the lineup tonight, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I would say yes.
Okay,
but I haven't seen him skate
someone
yesterday.
Someone has to come out then. Who's coming out?
That's the problem.
You don't give me an answer? You don't want to be that guy?
I'm going to say they maybe give him until Saturday.
I said the answer. Both PD and I thought maybe it's Yokiharu because he's
just
the numbers are like go that way, and maybe you tell the kid, hey, you have, you know, a veteran in Colin Miller. Maybe it's Colin Miller because maybe he's banged up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe he needs a night.
Why are you taking out Yokiharju? I mean, he's playing 17, 18 minutes a night. He's playing very well.
And he played well with Scandella, so you got to keep him
together. He's 20 years old. He's the future of this team. Why would you take him out when he deserves to be in this lineup?
Maybe with
his play.
Maybe with the position that you're in, maybe, you know, you want the experience.
Maybe
you want the veteran experience. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think the defense pairings are fascinating. What I will guarantee you is that Bogosian won't play, but I'm excited that he's back on the ice because I like Bogo. I don't care what people think about Bogo. I love Bogo and the way he plays.
I think he can bring something to the Sabres.
And last year when he was healthy, he was really good for this team.
I know we were up against the break, but you're talking about, you know, who's skating this morning? Well, who's not? Paul Hamilton just said Johansson is not skating, so it's not looking good for him to play tonight. So
okay.
Marcus Johansson, day-to-day in the injury report, but not on the ice for morning skate with the Sabres this morning.
Do you have anything ready for this or that?
I think so.
You think so? Well, if not, we'll go around the NHL because there are some big topics around the NHL I kind of want to talk about with you guys, and John Tavares and the Island being one of them, see what these guys might think about. You know, does John Tavares still bother him that the fans would be chanting that? I don't know. We'll ask these guys when we come back, maybe, if this or that's not ready, but we'll still have to the end of the hour. And Elliot Friedman at 11 o'clock, Instigators from KeyBank Center, game tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Keep everything here and you try to stretch them out.
All right, welcome back. Marty, no need to stop talking. Marty's drawing up a power play. Rivs is nodding his head yes for those of you in the car driving around. I got to say this, Marty. Your work on the teleprompter is spectacular, but those arrows right there. One person I remember, one coach over the years that drew the best arrows, Lindy Ruff.
Lindy was really good.
Remember when he used to, I want a button hook. And he used to draw the tight little circle with the arrow and he would color it in.
It's like a triangle colored in.
Oh,
yeah.
It was perfect. I used to sit there. I was like, man, this is how NHL coaches draw on the board.
Well, we
they have nice arrows and everything.
Yeah,
so
we
you had no idea what he was talking about. You were so fixated
I'm like, what's a button hook? That's a great arrow.
Well, that's also, you got to think.
Tight lines and like they were short. And
we used to do a lot of drills before when there was still a two-line pass. Like the red line was in for two-line pass.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of drills where the forwards had to come back on the defensive side of the red line because the puck was in your zone for transition. And he used to draw it up. Okay, this is the drill. On the left side, left wing, little button hook at the red line.
Oh, he loved it.
Center, support the puck with the button hook.
He loved
and
the arrows,
right winger,
didn't he?
And the arrows were perfect.
So did you notice that too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God, it was incredible. I was sitting there. I used to watch, and I'd be like, man, I hope he draws like 15 arrows on here. Are you drawing one for Riv? Yeah, they're nice.
He'd take his time with a little. Yeah. It looked like a fish hook.
Yeah. It's an impressive button hook.
Yeah, he loved the – oh, he was – anyway. Okay, moving on. Around the NHL, speaking of coaches, Babcock said that Tavares might have known where a good restaurant would have been, but he doesn't feel the emotion of the fans chanting, "We don't need you," as they move on to win their 12th win in 13 games in the Leafs.
12-0-1. It's not like they lost.
Yeah, it's not,
They lost to Pittsburgh in a shootout, I believe.
Do you think that's – I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what kind of season you had. That has got to weigh on that player, any player.
Well, it's certainly because he was in that city for many years, being the face of the team and struggling. They struggled for many years with John Tavares as their leader.
He finally made it to the playoffs.
The team struggled. They didn't acquire the right players over the years. And then soon as he moves out,
who did they bring when he moved out? Like, I'm not even talking about players. They brought in Lula Moriello and Barry Trotz.
Yeah, I mean.
And then it changed the franchise. And listen, I think a John Tavares type player, a very humble, very, I don't want to say calculated person, but he's all about hockey. I think that weighs a lot on John Tavares. If it was Jeremy Roenick and he went back in Long Island and they kept yelling, "We don't need you," he'd be like yelling and screaming at them and it would fire him up. But I think John Tavares, it weighs on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Still to this day, the decision to go to Toronto.
No, I don't think John Tavares is sitting there right now. He's a Toronto-born kid who
it doesn't weigh on his shoulder when the 355 days out of the year, but the 10 days that he's either playing against the Islanders or the day before,
it weighs on. It draws league-wide attention to him in a somewhat negative light that I don't think he likes. He does not like attention, period. End of story.
Yeah.
He did not like that UFA having to make his way down the gauntlet to July 1. He didn't like that. Didn't even talk about it.
And then he opens up the tightest sealed
conversation in the history of UFAs.
And then he opens up a little bit. He says, "I'm going to really open myself up by posting a picture of him in his Maple Leaf sheets with his alarm clock and his trophy as a young boy and, you know, saying, I decide to play with my childhood idol." And then he was nicknamed Pajama Boy. And he goes, "I finally opened myself up to just..."
For what reason? Because he, on, Twitter, Instagram?
No, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
social media is the devil.
But he opened himself up a little bit to say, "I'm going to show a little personality by putting that picture up." And then people ripped him apart, especially in Long Island, calling him Pajama Boy. And so now he's closing back up. He's putting the walls up, and he's saying, "I don't want to deal with this anymore."
Well, he doesn't have a choice, because as long as the Islanders are successful and he rolls in there and they're winning a game, they are going to chant that. And you don't think the Islanders players feel that?
I think it's certainly a booster. There's no question. When your building's electric and your fans are into it, it will take your team to another level.
I know we're tight for time, but Marty, did you want to throw a diss or dad in there today? Do you have anything?
Sure. You know what?
Spectacular.
Well, why don't we do it tomorrow? Because I'm going to be on tomorrow. We'll do a full diss or dad tomorrow. I got a couple good ones here, but you know, I think we'll save it. I got to be out at 11 o'clock because we have to get ready for the broadcast tonight, which, by the way, you mentioned, PD, 6:30 pregame. We will have Dominic Hasek on the broadcast at about 6:40, 6:45 or so. Rob Ray will be there in the first segment. So we haven't had, you know, time together a whole lot over the last 2 weeks to talk about, you know, the league or the Sabres, because they played two games in Europe in the last 2 weeks. So it's going to be fun to get the gang back together and talk hockey again and have a game at home here in front of the fans.
Excited for it.
Well, let's talk hockey just for a couple more minutes. Paul Hamilton saying lines are the same. The defense is not going in pairs.
So Ralph Kruger playing a little game.
I remember we were in Boston one time and Lindy's like, "Just go in random players. Just go out of sync. Anybody go with anybody."
We did that in warm-ups.
For games. Yeah, I mean, like, how much chemistry are you going to build doing those, like, line rushes? Those things. Warm-ups are a joke.
We go back to Lindy a lot because he did a lot of different things. But he once told Mika Nornan and I, "Get off the ice at the same time. I don't want them to know, like, which goalie gets off the ice." And he goes, "And what I want, Marty, you go in one door. Mika, you go in the other door. You guys go at the same time." So they really can't say, like, Marty came off first and Mika followed him or whatnot. Like, just...
Was that here?
Yeah.
Who was it against?
I don't know. He did that for, like, not just one game. He didn't want...
Really?
He's like, "I don't understand why I should give out who my goalie is and I should tell him who my pairs and my lines are. Like, you know, there's no need for them to prepare for it."
Yeah. Well, we went into warm-ups, and all the lines were changed. Just random players playing with random guys. The defense pairs were not together.
And you know what? It's warm-up. You really building chemistry in warm-up?
Well, it's not about chemistry. It's about the opposing team watching and just basically writing down your lines.
It doesn't matter what lines you're going with in warm-up.
Can I tell you what someone said for a joke? This is like J.P. Dumont.
This is JP Dumont. We were in Boston doing the line shuffle, and I went out with Briere and somebody else, and JP yells, okay, Petey, they're really going to believe that you're playing with Danny tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Make it believable, though.
Make it believable. Make it. That was JP, though. Make it somewhat believable, though. Right? Like, yeah, I don't think that the Bruins are going to figure out that you're not going to be on that line long. All right. So the D pairs are, if you want to try to piece something together, this is from Joe Yurden. Scandella, Joki Harju, McCabe, Risto, Darlene, Montour, and Gilmore Miller. We will go to break. When we come back, buy, sell, trade, 11 o'clock, Elliot Friedman. See you in a few minutes.
Please, Rivs, continue your singing of the This or That song.
I love that song.
Love the song. Listen, we were going to do This or That tomorrow. We'll still do it tomorrow, but why not squeeze in a little bit of This or That this morning before I have to go? The Dallas Stars won a big one yesterday in Calgary, 3-1. So they got themselves figured out a little bit. My two teams to be in the Stanley Cup Finals at the beginning of the season were the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars. They both struggled at the start of the season. I'm asking you this or that. Which team, Dallas or Tampa, finishes higher in the standings at the end of the season? This or that? Okay, Dallas right now is 20 points in 19 games.
100%.
Tampa is 18 points and 15.
100% Tampa Bay.
100?
100%. I'm not even going to go 99%. 100%.
Are your dis or dats both hockey?
No.
You have a different one, because I have one.
Well, okay, but answer this one and then.
I'm with Riv. I mean, it's a tap in.
Boom shot.
No, really? We don't need a knuckle on that. Yeah, that's
You know what? Take it back. Wow, we're not even going to knuckle on that.
That's not an impressive reason to knuckle.
Okay, let's mark the date.
Ben has one goal.
Doesn't matter. I'm saying let's mark the date. November 14, 2019. At the end of the season, if Dallas is ahead, you guys owe me Buff Chicken for a
wager? You want a wager on this?
I'm asking the question. Buff Chicken for a week.
I want to gamble. Let's get to Craig.
I did enough gambling with you.
We're grown men.
We did a trade.
Riverboat gambling trips. No, I've never done any of those.
Rivs and I made a trade in fantasy football, and I'm getting ripped on by the rest of the league.
No, I'm out of that fantasy football league.
Okay, listen, the other this or that I've got. Did you guys watch Monday Night Football when Geno Smith went to midfield in overtime and called for the coin flip? He apparently called tails, but it sounds like he said head or vice versa. I don't know if we have the clip, if
Is
we can play the
night?
Clip, but if you go on Twitter, it's like the dress, right? It's like, did you hear Lowell or what was the other one? Like the, there was the blue and the gold dress that was whatever.
I am lost.
You guys don't know what I'm
you're
talking about.
You're talking dresses, and now you're talking. And what was the first thing you were talking
Geno
about?
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith to the blue and gold.
What are you asking?
What are you talking about?
This is not going the right way. JJ, help me here.
No, JJ cannot
JJ,
help you.
Please
but
help
I,
me.
I can help you.
Okay, simplify
I can
this.
Help you. Spicy guacamole or regular guacamole? It's national spicy. It's National Spicy Guacamole Day. Thank you, Kelly. I got the rundown.
What do you mean spicy guacamole? Does that mean it has a little bit of
Has
like
some
pepper
some
jalapenos. Yeah, I'm going with that.
Jalapenos.
One. Yeah, I'm
going
to go with that one.
It's jalapeno, Ricky.
I'm asking for people on Twitter to help me with this one, because it's one of those, you say something, but it sounds different, and then on TV everybody thought Geno Smith.
Heads or tails doesn't sound the same.
I'm telling you, I'm going to have to play the clip for you. You go on Twitter and you play the clip.
So what happened?
Well, he won the toss and then they won in OT. But everybody says he called the other one. He should have lost the toss and maybe they would have lost the game.
So what's is that a diss or dat? What are you doing?
If you guys had seen the clip, I would have asked you, did he say heads or did he say tail? But you guys obviously didn't watch the clip. You guys don't care about other sports but hockey.
Well, this is when was this?
Wait,
what are you pointing at?
You know what? Why'd you get so aggressive?
I'm going to tell you
now. We don't care about other sports except hockey? What does that even mean?
They have it. Listen.
We need to go to break because this diss or dat, you just bombed.
Listen to the clip.
For the first time, this is my favorite segment of the show.
That's the head. That's the tail. Seattle, what's your call?
Tails.
Your call is heads.
Geno Smith makes the call.
But,
yeah. Did he just say tails?
He said tails, and the referee says, you called heads. And it was heads, but he said tails.
That's amazing.
And they won the game. Anyway, see?
So was it this or that?
This or that with heads or tails?
Oh, he definitely said tails.
Okay, PD.
But it was heads. Okay, yeah.
That was rigged. That was rigged.
Yeah, okay. So you have conspiracy theory on the 100%. Overtime.
Yes, all the time. I am
why are they
all
sending,
about conspiracy theories.
Why are they sending their backup quarterback to call the heads or tails anyway?
Because he...
He's thought about it all game. He's done the analytics on heads and tails, and he knows it. Anyway, that was this or that. I got to get out of here. We have to take a break. Sabres are hosting Carolina. Yeah, I got to go meet Rick Robert.
Oh, my God. First...
Okay, let's take a short break here. The Instigators, WGR 550.
No, goalies are not weird.
No.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.